talk about some of the trends going on in the second half, but namely, want to talk about Doc Rivers. This thing's blowing up a little bit on social because of the linear feed and what JJ said. So I'll recap, right? So to recap, Doc Rivers is 3-7 as the head coach, and going into the All-Star break, the Bucks, who are not killing it in terms of just their lead and that, in the conference by any stretch of the imagination, right? They're not killing it at all, right? They're not killing it by any means, okay? And the Bucks lose in Memphis to pretty much a G League squad, right? This team is like trying to see what GG Jackson's going to give them, who's a second round pick. Losing to that is quite dramatic. Now, look, I get it. He's a new coach. Came halfway through the year. We all get it, okay? But when the team lost, he just started with excuses. Just started with, listen, I came midway through the year. I don't really, it's tough to get acclimated. And this is part of who Doc is. I mean, I'm just going to repeat what JJ Redick said. JJ Redick was on First Take and basically said, this is who this guy is. Just the lack of accountability he had with the Clippers, right? He like throws players under the bus. And I've talked about this before. The most noticeable thing that happened with Doc, which to me, and now people are calling him Glenn, which I just love. I love the soft troll there, right? This guy is not worthy of the nickname. What basically Glenn has done in the past, I thought this was the worst situation, was in Philly. And Philly, to me, the drastic point wasn't this past year and that team failing. It was a couple years back when they had the loss to Atlanta, I think the year post the bubble. So 2021, maybe it was. I'm getting my years confused. Maybe it was 2022. The post-bubble season, if you will. And they lose to Atlanta, and Ben Simmons had a bad second half, passed out of the people have the famous play where he was kind of stuck underneath, and he passes out of the of basically potentially getting to the free throw line, passes out for a jump shot to like Matisse Thybulle or something, and he gets blamed like crazy for that loss, which is ridiculous. Everyone throws him under the bus. And look, I'll blame Maury too. Maury was a weak ass GM who did not have the back of his players here. But they asked Doc Rivers after the game, and Doc Rivers is letting, rather take accountability. And that's a time where you can have accountability, right? Get your team prepared in a playoff series. A lot of that is on the coach. A lot of those situations are, coach dependent. But what does Doc do? What does Doc do in that situation? Doc allows the media to pile up on him, and he says, I think the worst thing you can say as a coach, they go, hey Doc, is Ben Simmons a championship level point guard? And there's no harm in just, if you don't believe, just lie. There's no good that happens in saying yes, or even quasi saying yes. There's no good to that. You could say he absolutely is, he had a rough stretch, but like it's on us, it's a team game. I mean, there's so many idioms you can use here, cliches that you could just say, like, yeah, listen, this is he played really well. We wouldn't be here without him. I mean, the list goes on. He's a great defensive talent. We absolutely, he's a partner. And then worry about it in-house. Then talk about it in-house. Then you have a private meeting. I know, like, hey, listen, guys, I don't think Simmons is it. Great. Great. At least you don't take his value. You don't take the personality, all that. But no, he couldn't shed a little bit of self-reflection and accountability for a hot second. And he said, Doc Rivers, sorry, is Ben Simmons a championship level point guard? I don't know. I don't know, which is basically saying no. He basically said, "No, I don't think he is," or "I don't know," something to that effect. And then that was the start of the end for him, right? And like as a player, how do you go back to that? And look, I get it. You know, a lot of the players need to take accountability too. They do, right? But like you made it so much worse for your franchise at doing that, right? And Doc was let off the hook. He continues coaching. Maury defends Doc. Okay, now again, his incentive for doing so, Doc kind of hung him out to dry there a little bit. And look, the thing about Doc is the best PR NBA personality of all time. Okay, he is. You have a thing of called market value and book value, right? Just in life in general with things, right? Market value is how the market dictates something is, and then there's actual book value, right? So like in betting, you see this all the time. You know, people bet with their gut, but like they'll overrate certain things based on fandom, based on affinity towards something, right? So there's market value and book value. It's stock market's the most obvious example, right? For whatever reason, people overrate, underrate certain piece of news, what have you. Doc Rivers is the biggest market value guy. He's a guy that's just based on PR perception. He is fantastic with the media. He answers them. He doesn't give them any snippy comments, right? He's respectful. He's obviously been in the broadcast booth for quite a while. He's well connected with the refs, with NBA personnel. So his sort of PR acumen is through the roof, and that's really jettisoned him, right? If you look at his career, I think we talked about this in a prior pod. You know, obviously, you can nitpick certain things. I'm not gonna. Doc Rivers, I don't think is as bad as a coach as people say he is. I thought he did a fantastic job in Orlando. The team overachieved. I think he got way too much credit for them overachieving. People like, oh, wow, he took this team of like guys should have been in the league. And then what we found out was, well, actually, Darrell Armstrong's pretty good. Ben Wallace is could be a Hall of Famer, right? That team wasn't so bad. That team wasn't so bad. Right, but doesn't take the onus on the McGrady situation, and they blow a 3-1 lead. This guy blows leads in the playoffs. Loves blowing leads. Okay? But I thought I did a good job with Boston too. People talk about 08, right? That wasn't all him. Yeah, I get it. He had a veteran team. But again, just like with Spoelstra, giving Spoelstra credit for doing the same thing with Miami and the Heatles, you still need to be a good coach, Phil Jackson too, right? It takes two to tango, right? Like you need to, in order for a team to win. I think the coach needs to be good. It's very hard for a bad coach to win a title. It is. It is. Because you're going to see good coaching along the way. And, you know, Doc should get credit for the OA title. But, like, there's other factors there. Okay? And the trio, the pre, whatever you want to call them, the pre-Ray Allen KG edition Celtics, he did a good job with those teams, too. With young Rondo and all that, right? So I'm not going to say he's a bad coach, but I think this, but I still say, first of all, he's been named the top 15 coach of all time, which is absurd. One title, just crazy that he's on there. Over guys like Jerry Sloan, Jeff Van Gundy, George Karl even. Really any coach. Lenny Wilkins is on there, obviously. Literally any coach. Literally name a coach that's lasted for more than 5 years. Del Harris, I would make the argument. Okay? So I think just he's been riding the PR angle forever. And look, maybe he knows something we all don't know. Maybe he knows, like, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe it's true. That, like, as a coach, you're supposed to take accountability, but maybe that doesn't actually help you for future hirings and PR and all that. Fine. And I think it's just a bad lesson. People talk about the lessons out there and, like, lesson for players. And if the player sees the coach not take accountability, why are they taking accountability? And, like, Milwaukee is blessed, and I think it's a rarity to have a star talent like they do who also has great self-awareness and is just a great figure to lead the league in terms of being a face of a league and lead your franchise in Giannis, right? Giannis, you know, people have the famous quote last year when a reporter said, you know, would you classify the season as a failure? People loved it. Very eloquent, especially for someone who English is not their native tongue. So he's blessed with that. It's not like he's trying to control like James Harden here or Kyrie Irving. Okay, He's not, or Carmelo in his prime, right? These guys are not easy to coach, okay? Or even a guy you got to, like, adapt to their playing style, like LeBron or Luka. He has, like, a good team. Now, granted, it's not all on him. I think what's being exposed with Milwaukee's downfall, too, is the Lillard stuff. And I can talk about what Milwaukee should do, but I just want to talk about accountability for a second. I want to talk about the importance of accountability, right? So I keep using this reference. This is a big analogy for me. In 2003, this is baseball now, baseball. One of the best championship series, I think, in any sport happening at that time, right? You had the Red Sox-Yankees, which, you know, again, Grady Little, that whole thing leaving Pedro in. Don't get me started on that, being a Boston guy. But on the NL, Cubs-Marlins, right? This could have been a situation where you're supposed to have Cubs-Red Sox in the World Series. Two teams at that point had the biggest droughts of winning a World Series in baseball. I think all sports, just given how long baseball has been around. But in that Cubs series, the Cubs are up. For those of you who don't know, many probably do. They're up 3, something, I think they're up 3-2 in that series. It's game 6, is Wrigley Field. The Cubs are up in the game. I don't know the scores. They're up like a run or two. It's like the 7th inning or so. It could be the 8th, 7th, or 8th. Okay? They're up in the game. Let's say it's like 5-4. Okay? Or 5-3. And there's something like 1 out or 2 outs. It could be just be like, let's say there's 1 out in the 7th. Something like that. And a hitter on the Marlins is up. There's no men on. Maybe there's a man on, I don't know. There's a pop-up to left. And there's a question, right? Is the ball going fair foul, right? And you know, as someone in the stands, if the ball is getting anywhere near to you, it's instinctive. You get those seats for a reason. You get the front row of being near the foul pole so you could catch a ball. It's so instinctive. So Steve Bartman, who's in that situation, goes up and tries to catch a ball, as do many other people in his area. And he so happens to be the one who tries to catch it. It's very hard to catch that ball because there's everyone's there, everyone's going for it. And also, he's not a major league player. It's ridiculous. He tries to catch it, he bobbles it, whatever, he drops it. And apparently, he does it over Moises Alou, right? Moises Alou's about to catch it, and Bartman gets in his way and bobbles the ball. And this happens. This is what happened with anybody sitting there, pretty much. It's that instinctive when you're in that seat. And what does Moises Alou do? So Moises Alou's in his reaction. Moises Alou slams his glove on the ground like a freaking 3-year-old. Like he's throwing a temper tantrum. Slams his glove on the ground. And just starts, like, yelling at Bartman. And the whole crowd starts booing. And they're like, boo, we could have gotten an out. And then the inning unfolds. What happens? The next batter? Hit. Walk, hit. I don't know if this is the exact outcomes, but more or less. The Marlins start coming back in this ballgame. They take the lead, and now the whole crowd is like, oh, my God, if we only had that out. Maybe it was the second out, it would have been the third out. We would have been out of this jam. And now everybody is sort of sneering at Bartman. And now, like, the players field, everyone in the stadium is mad at Bartman. And, you know, Steve Bartman, people like on TV and I mean the stadium, they start finding out this guy's number or who else is sitting near there. They're leaving him messages while he's at the game and all this stuff. And Bartman's just sitting there like stoic and scared. Other people in the stadium are now kind of crowd around him, be like, you know, F you idiot, right? Trying to get the ball. And now the Cubs lose this game. And, you know, immediately after the game, Bartman is now like this wanted man in Chicago. We got to get Bartman. Put him on the stake. We lost because of Bartman. And the police had to escort this guy out. And they escort him out, and they go there. In the post-game press conference after, they ask the Cubs players. Players take no accountability. None. Like, well, guys, you saw what happened in the seventh inning. You know, we had a guy who was trying to catch the ball and missed it. And then, I know, Dusty Baker, the manager of the Cubs at the time, is famous for this. Dusty's like, they asked him, they're like, oh, you know, he was a Cubs fan. And Dusty's like, could have fooled me. I think he was a Marlins fan. Like, he was some kind of spy. Right? Like, it was a conspiracy. No accountability. And you go back to the situation. It wasn't the bottom of the ninth. This was the ninth. This was the seventh or eighth inning. They had more outs. Okay? And also, it's one out. One thing. You didn't come back, and you let that be the thing that spoils you? You feed on the lack of accountability, and like, yeah, let's blame this guy. You're the players. You're the manager of the team. What happens? Obviously, the Marlins force Game 7. The Cubs go to Game 7, and they lose in Game 7. And now the whole city is like, this effing guy, Steve Bartman. My God. And they don't even, and their life still stinks. The Cubs continue to stink. And then everyone's like, oh, if it only wasn't for Bartman. And there's lying to themselves. It was the fucking lack of accountability as a franchise and as a city, quite frankly. And the man, it started with the manager. It started with the player and the manager. Moises Alou's reaction, Dusty Baker's response in the post-game press conference. He was likely a Marlins fan. Kill this guy. I just want to kill him. Just to save themselves? Disgusting. Animals that do this. Lack of accountability. Makes me sick. All right? Dusty did it. Seeing a little bit of it with Doc. Seeing a little bit of it in Doc Rivers. Nobody benefits from the lack of accountability. No. We get it. We get it. You're not prepared. We get it. It's hard. Okay? Try something new. Try something different. You got all your guys there. You got Jaeger there, whatever. I don't know what to tell you. And look, I'm not even saying I'll blame Doc. I just don't appreciate the immediate lack of accountability. There is a lot of blame pie to go around, right? One is management. You acquired Damian Lillard for Drew Holiday. That was a big shift. You know, that's a big net swap in terms of off people. Like, the team shouldn't be this bad defensively. You traded the best perimeter defender, and you acquired the worst perimeter defender. What did you think was going to happen? That is a big net difference, okay? And by the way, your whole backcourt. I think Grayson Allen, who was like another solid perimeter defender, you got the worst perimeter defender. So you traded the best backcourt defense. So 40% of your team, 40% of your starting lineup, rather, was like an A, and you saw from an A from 40% to an F. So statistically, that is going to be a huge impact. Yeah. Right? If I take 10 tests in a class to make up my grade, and it used to be that I got A's on all of them, and now I got 40% of them, I got a D or an F, my grade's going to drastically go down. Not a little bit. Drastically. Right? It's not like they make up for it. You can't ask Giannis to be Superman. This is absurd. So, yes, management was bad. They underrated Drew Holiday. And, look, I get it. They had to appease Giannis. They get the extension. I totally get it. Right? Manager gets the blame pie. Manager gets two blame pies for it, in my opinion. The second one is the hiring of Adrian Griffin. I'm not even going to blame Griffin here. You're a first-time new head coach. This is like a Tyronn Lue thing. This is a figure it out thing. Even if you're going to tell me, well, we didn't know we were going to get Lillard, but what did you expect was going to happen? What was your goal for the season? You're still a contender. You're still a contender last year. You were a contender this year. Okay? Before the Lillard deal, the expectations for the Bucks were still to win a title. Yes, they were. Before the Lillard deal. The Lillard deal increased the odds per Vegas, but they still had, that was still the goal. Okay, despite what happened in the playoffs last year. They were a top seed last year that lost to the Heat. And you could have made an argument it was a fluky team. So, I don't even know why you hired Griffin in the first place. And it's awkward between him and Terry Stotts and all this. He's a new coach. It's a rebuild coach. You put Jacque Vaughn in that situation? Like, come on. Look what happens. So, look, you reap what you sow. I'm happy that in the NBA, this sort of shtick doesn't work, i.e. like the go all-in route for the Lillard thing. But also, it tells you how important defense is. But the whole franchise needs accountability. The whole franchise needs a dose of just good old-fashioned accountability, and they're going to get what's coming to them, which is maybe a loss in the first round. Yeah, I said it. They face New York. If they're healthy, they're done. They don't deserve anything better. They got what's coming to them. Yeah, that's right. Good luck, Milwaukee.